Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
I want to give a shout-out to Pat Murphy and his staff. They actually sent a whole video to us and my family about how they were praying for us and wishing us well.
Our Pat Murphy, like our Pat Murphy, our manager of our Brewers baseball club, made a video, reached out to the Freeman family and said, we got you.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a good Monday morning to you, Eric Bilstead, along with Amy Taylor. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Eric.
Amy's in for Vince today. You're
I
back.
I am. I made it back.
And you made it in the work safely. We had a lot of rain overnight.
Well, I mean, I woke up to a couple texts from my daughters, which was funny. Mommy, are you going to be okay? That's a terrible storm.
It was pretty intense there for a minute.
I'm like, that's really cute. You're looking after Mom. I'm going to be okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
So heavy rain overnight. I know it definitely didn't get as much as anticipated at one point yesterday on Monday. We thought Monday might be a wash. It did not turn out that way, which... I guess is okay.
Right. It seems like it's all lining up. But I guess last night there were some really loud thunderclaps.
Mm-hmm. So all the flood warnings, all that stuff has been canceled. Did have some heavy rain. We still have some outages in some spots, about 9,000. At one point, we had more than 20,000 customers out of power because of the storm. So getting better.
Well, that happens when you have that above ground power, too.
Right.
But having said that, and also lived in Michigan at times, I mean, the power here is incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, the way they restore it, you can go weeks in Michigan with no power.
No kidding.
No kidding. Hmm. One time my dad called me and he's like, hey, can I come stay with you? I have no power for 2 weeks. I'm like, what? Yeah, no. Hey, Dad, you only gave me a life, but hey, nah. No.
So as far as we go...
The answer was yes.
Yeah, of course it was. As far as we go, we're okay, but there's a major concern down south where they're looking at, I mean, just unprecedented numbers. The mayor of Savannah, Georgia, telling CNN that he's absolutely terrified for this storm.
I mean, I pretty much never heard a public official say that.
Use that word.
Like really? Usually they are trying to calm and assure people that it's going to be under control. Stay in your homes. You'll be fine. Yeah. This is more like, no, we don't know how bad. It's going to be bad.
He says they've handled severe weather before, but when you have 20 to 30 inches between now and Friday, potentially coming down in some of those spots in South Carolina and in Georgia from this storm.
We need to ask Brian Nesnansky about what our record rainfall is in a period of time or something like that.
Yeah, we'll check in with Niz at 7:20 this morning on Wisconsin's Morning News. I'll leave you with this, Amy. I thought you might appreciate this unique story that came from Tropical Storm Debbie.
You know,
Piper. Debbie blew cocaine worth more than $1 million onto a beach in the Florida Keys. U.S. Border Patrol says it was in 25 packages totaling 70 pounds.
Yeah.
Sorry. Cocaine. Sorry.
No, Debbie. Sorry. Wrong, Debbie.
No, it's spelled differently. It's spelled differently.
Yeah. Different Debbie blew cocaine onto the Florida Keys.
That seems like an abundance of cocaine.
Thanks to a good Samaritan who happened to find it. Hey.
Not for nothing. What they call those are square groupers.
That's what they call them
because they're square and they just wash up onto the mangroves and stuff like that.
Interesting.
You know, I've heard stories that honestly,
Right.
Well, a lot of schools are grouper right now, square ones.
Square groupers.
Schools are
groupers. Interesting. Never knew that. Deb, did you live there?
No, but we have a cousin that lives there and we go down there every spring break. So he lives in... on Cujo, which is about 40 minutes north of Key West. So
good name.
She's caught a square before.
I have not caught a square before.
6:16, we got to get to sports. Big news from Giannis, that's next.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
8 weeks left of the regular season, and we've got a magic number. More on that in a moment, though. Right now, Greece and Germany in a quarterfinal showdown that just ended. It was a close first half. Unfortunately for Greece, that's only half of the game. The final call.
And the final 4 seconds for Greece ticks off. Germany moves on to the medal round for the first time in country history. Giannis with a great Olympics, and the Greeks are done.
And the Greeks are done. Giannis, 22 points, 2 rebounds, and a block. Greece is eliminated by Germany, 76-63. The final. Now we send a bunch of bubble wrap and duct tape and boxes and get Giannis back over here.
That's the good news out of this.
Selfishly speaking. Yeah, no, yeah, it stinks that they had quite a run, too. Kind of a early upset with the pool play. Didn't play really well, but had a chance. Faced up against a tough Germany team. While we're at it, more basketball today for the U.S. The men's team takes on Brazil this afternoon at 2:30. Also, U.S. action. Women's soccer plays this morning, taking on Germany at 11 in the quarterfinal round. All right, back to the magic number, because as of August 6th, the Brewers' magic number to clinch a playoff spot is 46, a 6-game lead division. You're going to keep track of it now. I know we're going to keep
put that number up.
We're
going to
put it up on the studio, yes. And you're going to see it. 6-game lead in the division. For what it's worth, we are now in a route for the division opponents to lose every chance they get, meaning we want the Padres to beat the Pirates, we want the Rays to beat the Cardinals, the Brewers take on the Braves to open up a 3-game series against the Braves in Atlanta. Our coverage on WTMJ starts at 5:45.
Pat Murphy joins us for Brewers 360 at 7:45. 6:19, we go live overseas next. The Summer Games roll on in Paris, and joining us every morning as she does live from Paris is ABC's Inez de la Caterra. So today, Inez, what's on the docket? What, now that we've transitioned into some other newer sports, what are you paying attention to today?
Yeah, so the big one out of today was surfing, I think, out in Tahiti. We've talked a lot about the weather here in Paris affecting the opening ceremony, affecting the water quality of the Seine River. But over in Tahiti, they've been having weather issues too, so those surfing competitions had to be continuously delayed. The weather is now much better, and so they did begin having those competitions this morning. Team USA winning a gold there, so that is very exciting. Big Team USA highlights that remain are in athletics, Gabby Thomas, Noah Lyles running the 200 meters. That's expected to be held on Wednesday. The USA women's soccer and the two basketball teams, both the men and the women, competing. The men's side is going to be up against Brazil in the quarterfinals. So all eyes on that. They are, of course, favored to win the gold. But yeah, there's still a lot more events, a lot more to go, and a lot more medals to win.
Let's talk about that. How are we doing in the medal race? USA is making a nice showing, right?
Yeah, so interestingly, it was that gold medal from this morning in surfing that tied us with China. So we had been tied with them over the weekend in terms of the gold medal tally. China then won a couple gold medals yesterday, and that set us back a little bit. But we did just tie back with them as of this morning. So we are now at 21 gold medals each, and we are leading by far in the total medal count with 79 medals in all.
So the River Seine has been talked about ad nauseum because people are nauseous when they're
literally
when they're swimming. Where are we at now with that? And we did have a couple of athletes that did get sick right after swimming.
Yeah, that's right. So you had a Belgian athlete and a Swiss athlete who both competed in the individual triathlon, who both got sick, and who then had to pull out of the mixed relay triathlon that was again going to be held in the Seine. So it's unclear whether it was something in the Seine that made them sick. It's kind of impossible to say, really. But they both, we know in the case of the Swiss athlete, he did have a stomach infection. In the case of the Belgian athlete, they didn't disclose what illness she had. But certainly some concerns for them. They did go ahead with the mixed triathlon relay yesterday. So there were swimmers again in the Seine yesterday. And we'll see. A lot of these athletes are, keeping an eye on their health, being medically monitored. So we'll see. I guess we'll know in the next few days if they're okay. There are going to be more events in the Seine on August 9th. We'll have marathon swimming in the Seine.
Let's look back a little bit. I guess gymnastics for women went out with a bang that after a disappointing beam performance for Suni Lee and Simone Biles. Can you talk about the historic nature of the medal podium?
Yeah, that's right. So it was the last day of artistic gymnastics yesterday, and we did have Team USA competing in the beam final and the floor final. In the beam, it was Simone Biles and Suni Lee, and both of them actually fell off the beam. So not the greatest competition there for Team USA. Neither of them made the podium. We then went on to the floor final, Simone Biles and Jordan Child competing in that. And they did do really well. So you had Simone winning the silver and Jordan winning the bronze. So two medals there for Team USA. Very exciting. The gold ended up going to Rebeca Andrade, who is the Brazilian superstar. I think what worked against Simone was the fact that she stepped out of bounds twice with both feet. So she got some neutral deductions for that. Typically, she can withstand those deductions, but she has so much power that she, you know, it's not unusual for her to step out of bounds. Typically, that doesn't really affect her score because her routines are so difficult. But in this case, Rebeca Andrade just had the most amazing performance, absolutely flawless. And so a well-deserved gold medal there. And a really nice moment at the end when they all three of them got onto the podium and you had Jordan and Simone kind of bowing down to Rebeca to celebrate her win. So it was very nice to see, you know, these are women who compete fiercely against each other, but who then also support each other and cheer each other on. So really sweet.
Yeah, neat moment there. ABC's Inez de la Caterra live from Paris. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know what? My 13-year-old daughter has been kind of caught up in all the Olympic fanfare.
Oh, it's so great.
And she did ask me the other day, we're watching beach volleyball. And she turns to me. She's like, Dad, I'm like, yes. Why are they wearing skimpy bikinis?
This is just absolutely the most pure moment from your girl, and which is just totally what goes on in my family,
and
too.
I had no idea how to answer it.
Right? Well, the reason is we all know why. I mean, I think it's definitely a thing in a serious way, because it's like, what? They're so scantily clad. And I guess my answer was tradition, right? But doesn't it have to be?
That can't be the answer.
Doesn't it have
to
be?
Sorry, it's just tradition. No,
well, because you need to move. You need to be able to move.
And yes, why? Yeah,
you need to be half naked.
Yes, and dive in the sand.
I mean,
and roll around.
Aren't all our eyes right on all of their, their entire being?
The diving is a little bit like that.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, these people are like creations of, you know, whatever. They're otherworldly, how beautiful these people are.
I wasn't quite sure how to answer. I just said, I guess that's just their uniform. They choose.
Pick. That's really nice of you. But I think a lot of guys would have gone, yeah, she looks hot in that bikini. I will bring on the volleyball.
We have a magic number. That story at 6:45. News from over the weekend that still has some fans reeling this morning. Aerosmith, the legendary rock band, is officially done retiring.
Aerosmith's statement was really a love letter to their fans. The band saying, "You have given us a place in the soundtrack of your lives. A final thank you to the best fans on planet Earth. Play our music loud, now and always."
So yeah, that's ABC's Ariel Reshef there. So Steven Tyler's voice just can't handle the load anymore.
Is this breaking news?
What's that mean?
I just mean, you know, it's sort of like, oh, wow, they're actually still going. I know they'd have a loyal following.
Sure.
I don't discredit that. But at some point, one could expect that the end might come and there might be time for some rest.
Are you suggesting that this isn't really news, that an old rock band is no longer touring?
I think it's news because it's really old.
Where do they where do they fall? Like, where are they in the
on
the tier of legendary rock bands, where Aerosmith had a pretty good run.
I think pretty big. Yeah. To be honest.
They're on the short list?
Yeah. I mean, not for me, but...
apparently.
Right? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not their audience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm more like, you know, sit around the fire and listen to
you. You almost seem happy that they're no longer touring.
Am I taking this too far?
6:38. Wisconsin's Morning News, Eric Bilstad, along with Amy Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. We're talking about the State Fair today.
Here we go.
I'm so excited because I'm a loyal fan of the State Fair, and who better than Sherry Black? Good morning, Sherry.
Morning. How are you?
I'm so well. We're excited about the fair here, and I think that's a part of its appeal. What do you think makes an outstanding State Fair?
I think it's really the culmination of all of the animals and people being able to be up close and personal with them and learning about agriculture and the youth being able to exhibit, as well as all the other fun things that are sprinkled in, the rides, the games, and of course, our fabulous food and amazing entertainment.
Sherry,
what do you think?
Yeah, well, yesterday I saw, I was on the grounds yesterday for the first time this year, and I saw all these painters just in and around, like just.
Oh, yeah.
And I made the silly ask to one of them. I said, "Oh, did you paint that?" And she's like, "Well, yeah, of course I'm painting. Yes, of course I'm painting this right now." It was her actual work. That
this is why you're a good journalist. You get to, you want to know the basic facts.
Did you paint that?
Right.
So that is actually called plein air. So they have a set amount of time that they are able to paint, and they're actually out, as you can see, in the elements and painting various fair themes. And then we sell those paintings, and all the proceeds go to the Wisconsin State Fair Park Foundation.
That's a wonderful cause. Sherry, I can hear some work going on in the background.
Are you dealing with
you.
The cattle right now, Sherry?
Yeah, actually, that's the rain. I'm in my car right now.
Oh, wow. That's serious. So yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. As the CEO, you're obviously of the State Fair. You're obviously paying attention to numbers. How are we doing this year? The weather, has it impacted you?
It certainly did last week. Obviously, we saw lower attendance days because of the heat. But really, not far off from last year. I have to admit, we were pleasantly surprised. The grounds have been extremely busy. So that's very positive for us. And it looks like our weather is going to be absolutely amazing going these last few days and into the weekend. So we are very hopeful that we are going to end up okay in the long run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. After this rain moves over this morning, it's going to be great the next several days. Nice and comfortable, lower humidity. It's going to be perfect for the fair. Sherry, thank you so much. Have a good run. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wisconsin State Fair CEO Sherry Black.
I want to say, watch out for those ginormous raindrops.
They sounded a bit
they
heavy.
They sound really large.
Were you in a tractor? I don't think she was. 6:44. Sports in 1 minute.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Count them. 50 games left in the regular season. I was kind of trying to make a point that, like, there's a lot left in the season. You can think about it.
Not really.
It's going to fly by. Yeah. Anyway, 46 is the magic number for the Brewers to clinch a playoff spot. That would be way of winning the division. Now, they have a 6-game lead in the division right now. For what it's worth, we are now rooting for division opponents to lose, meaning we are Padres fans because they are taking on the Pirates, and we are also Tampa Bay Rays fans because they are taking on the Cardinals. Now, the Brewers take on the Braves and open up a 3-game series in Atlanta today. Our coverage starts right here on WTMJ at 5:45. Now, as far as the coolest piece of Brewers audio that I could play this morning, it's not a home run call, it's not a stolen base, it's not a sweet grab in the outfield. It's actually a bite from Dodgers first baseman Freddie Freeman. So, even if you're a casual baseball fan, Freddie Freeman is basically known as every player's favorite player in the MLB. Freddie Freeman has a 3-year-old son named Max. Max has been diagnosed with a nasty autoimmune disorder. And one day, he really wasn't doing well, to the point where Freddie got a call from his wife and he left the ballpark. He's like, "I'm out." Leaving, sprinted home, checked on Max. Max was in pretty bad shape. He had to be put on a ventilator. All this treatment just wasn't good stuff. He has since been taken off the ventilator. Docs say he is doing okay, thank God. And he'll make a full recovery. So, cool part, Freddie Freeman returned to the team yesterday, a really emotional press conference
after the
game. Took
like a 2-week leave, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yep, he missed 8 games. 2 weeks he was out, just was like, "Hey, I need to check on my family," which the whole Dodgers organization was like, "Go for it, man. Like, check, do whatever you have to do." So he came back yesterday, super emotional press conference. He thanked a lot of people, but listen to who he shouted out in particular for reaching out to him and his family.
Anybody associated with the Dodgers has been incredible. And then I want to give a shout out to Pat Murphy and his staff. They actually sent a whole video to us and my family about how they were praying for us and wishing us well.
Our Pat Murphy, like our Pat Murphy, our manager of our Brewers baseball club, made a video, reached out to the Freeman family and said, "We got you." Like, if that's not,
so
if that
cool.
doesn't give you goosebumps this morning, man, like, to have him on our team representing our club, and the Dodgers halfway across the country have had enough run-ins in the playoffs, right. You could probably consider them sort of rivals, reaches out in the worst moment of Freddie Freeman's life, reaches out and says, like, "Hey, man, we got you."
And really, though, are you not surprised?
Like, no, this exactly.
Doesn't shock me at all
not
that
at
Murphy
all.
And that crew would
coolest
do that.
Coolest thing ever. And
that's
by
awesome.
The way, Pat Murphy... our Brewers 360
guest. 7:45 this morning. 6:48. So there was all the talk of what would happen at this specific site in Milwaukee. It took place Monday night. We'll explain next. Vince is out. Amy Taylor is here, along with WDTMJ's Adam Roberts, joining us from his newsroom spot, because there's big activity Monday night in Milwaukee, Adam.
That's right. Vincent High School was the place to be, at least if you lived on the northwest side of the city, because we've got some decision-making to do about the former Northridge Mall site. 58 acres of city-owned property now that demolition has started on. And so now the next step is...
Wait.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yes, round of applause. We
demolition
did it.
Demolition has started.
We did it, everybody. Hey. You know what? That deserved a couple claps because it's been a minute. It's been 21 years.
It's been 21 years of this thing, you know, being an eyesore in the community and a danger to firefighters and police officers.
And that was reiterated multiple times during this town hall and Q&A that was happening. A lot of local leaders, you got the mayor, Cavalier Johnson, Alderwoman Larissa Taylor, and then City Development Commissioner Lafayette Crump was also there, taking questions, fielding answers to those questions from the community. And then there was also a networking opportunity where you had the earliest of early renderings. And I stress early. We're talking
about... What would they even have renderings of?
We're talking basic polygons that this could be a building. This could be an ice rink.
Jinx.
Oh, this is getting weird. But yes, very, very base level stuff we're talking about when it comes to renderings. And one of the big themes of the night that may seem obvious is that no option, at least as far as the city leaders go, is off the table.
They except for storage.
Except for a few. And I kind of pressed them on that, the leaders, when I talked with them. You know, you say nothing's off the table, but do you really mean that? Like if someone comes to you and says, we want to build a youth prison here, for example, is that going to be an automatic no? And they seem to imply that they were very political, obviously, about their answers, but they did not outright say no to any suggestions.
Okay.
So it's taking the whole thing down, Adam, right?
Yeah, the plan is to have the whole site completely flat, ready for redevelopment, I believe, by next fall. So it'll take about a year to completely do all the stuff that they need to do at the site.
It's hoping they dynamite that. Just boom, get rid of it all.
Kind of like the Bradley Center a little bit.
Yeah.
The whole area could be such an asset to the community. And as if you look at it in the big perspective, I mean, Eric and I, we've been watching this for a long time, as you said, 28.
It's like the Parkies corridor all over again.
Right.
Like, let's stare at the same site over and over and over again.
And the issue was like ownership, right? That the owners were not cooperating. And then did they default on a loan or something?
So I believe it was a property tax acquisition for the city. The former company, Black Spruce Enterprises from China, acquired it, I think, 6 years ago or so. Right. And then there was a 5-year legal battle that ended in January.
So it was supposed to be public commentary. Was there anyone from the public there? Were there concerned citizens?
Oh, I would say so. If you've ever been to the Vincent Auditorium, there's sort of two tiers to the seating. The bottom tier was quite full. I'd say about 150 to 200 people in attendance. And one of the themes I kept noticing from when people would ask the questions or pose their ideas was there was a little trepidation I kind of noticed from the public. They seemed cautious because it's sort of it's been this long running.
Like suspicious.
A little even. How do you know that I'm not going to be forgotten in this process when you ultimately make your decision to put in, you know, a Kinko's or whatever at the site.
Right.
So I asked Alderwoman Taylor that question.
Nothing happens on my watch without the input from residents. I try to exhaust every possible effort to connect with the residents and make sure that I hear and understand what their desires are so that they're not forgotten.
Now, there was one other element to this as well that I wanted to ask particularly Commissioner Crump about, because there's going to be all these grandiose ideas and there's a lot of emotion attached to this property. I myself can very sort of remember the last few years of the mall going maybe once or twice. I'm just old enough. And so there's going to be nostalgia that ultimately does end up coming into this process. And so I asked Commissioner Crump, how do you take that nostalgia, put it on the side, because you got to make some tough decisions.
How important is it as someone who makes these decisions that you don't let nostalgia cloud making some of those tough decisions when it comes to what's going to be best for the future?
Wow, that is a great question, because it would be very easy to say, we're going to build a new mall here. We're going to recapture the spirit of Northridge Pass. And I think what we need to do is think about, okay, what did those buildings mean for the community? It doesn't have to look exactly the same, but it can still fulfill some of those roles.
So a lot of obviously tough decisions that will need to be made.
I like that. That's kind of, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like when you make a movie that was once popular 40 years ago and you decide you need to bring all the same characters back. Well, because we got to be nostalgic. No, make something better.
Yes, you know, let's move forward.
Yes, move forward and make something better. Good stuff. Thanks, Adam, for going to that.
You
appreciate that. 6:58.